It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 4-2 to the New York Rangers despite having a 2-1 lead going into third period. Vegas now 31-16-6 for 68 points on the year. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan? You liked the Golden Knights game through the first 40 minutes or so, but obviously the Rangers, they push back in the third, and it's another scenario where the momentum swings so heavily in favor of the Rangers that the Golden Knights just couldn't pull themselves out of that.
Yeah, if you look at the last game that the Rangers played, they were down 1-0 in Boston. They tied it. The Bruins managed to deliver offensively on Igor Shesterkin. The Knights could not do that today against Jonathan Quick. With the way that they were playing and the opportunities they were getting, frankly, they should have had more than the one goal in the first or even the two goals through two periods. They got one at even strength from Eichel and another on the power play from Jack. But, you know, Jonathan Quick was just that good. He was outstanding, and frankly, Jonathan Quick was a lot better than Aiden Hill today, and it wasn't close. And because the Knights could not build up that advantage and create some separation, it allowed the Rangers to hang around. The Rangers were not particularly good in today's second period. They went long stretches without getting a shot on goal, and that's kind of what happened in Boston the other day. Or actually, I shouldn't say the other day. It was last night, yesterday afternoon. And so, you know, in the third period for that game, sure, Miller gets an early third period goal on the power play, but then, you know, they give one right. They were kind of out of the game. But today, because they had hung around, and obviously only down one goal, they never trailed by more than one, you do go get that third period push, and it is enough to obviously tie the game. It's just a totally different thing where you make a push in the third period. You know, you're still down by a few goals in Boston yesterday. Today, you know, they tie the game. So, again, it seems to me that the Knights, as much as you look at the third period and the fact that they give up three goals, to me the concern was also that they could not score more than two goals against Jonathan Quick in the early going. But you're right. Giving up three goals in the third period is never acceptable. A couple of those were power play goals. I do wonder about some of the calls or non-calls today. Again, I thought Rempe could have been called for interference or hauling down Howden when Brett was called. Later on, it looked like Pearson got a shoulder to the face from Schneider. There was no call on that, and so on and so on. Once the Rangers took the lead, the fourth goal was just icing on the cake, that final power play goal. But yeah, it's not acceptable to give up three goals in the third period. And, you know, as we mentioned, Aiden Hill has given up exactly four goals in four of his last five games.
I kind of along those lines. I mean, obviously, it's going to be hard to win games when you're reliably giving up four goals. When it comes to Aiden, what's that next step look like for him? Because we know what Aiden Hill can be when he's on. We know what he can be and what he can do when he's really comfortable and confident. It just seems like that hasn't been there in his game of late.
No, the last two games he seems to have been a little bit uncontrolled, where, like, for example, against Florida, you know, you're composed, you're in the crease. You know, you want the puck to go through you. You don't want to be drawn out of your goaltending position, and that has happened, in my observation, more often than it should over the last two games. And it really was not a thing at all for a while. It's one of the things that maybe we talked about with respect to Aiden, you know, a year or two ago. Not so much this year, but we saw it earlier in last game, and then we saw it a little bit of it today. You wonder how much pressure guys are putting on themselves when things aren't going well, and that's usually the worst thing to do. So probably for Aiden, you want to get some goals. You want to go score four goals so he doesn't have to, you know, put too much pressure on himself. And the Knights defense, you know, similarly, you know, like, okay, Aiden's having, you know, a rough go of it. Let's try to block every shot that we can. Well, then all of a sudden you end up in a third period where you're not generating almost anything. So it's just a dominoes falling and none of them in the Golden Knights' direction.
You know, you did get an opportunity to see Brandon Saad here in his Vegas Golden Knights debut. What were your impressions of Brandon tonight?
He still's got a step. You know, we saw him twice, of course, against the Blues. And I said this the other day, you know, when Saad, especially that first game, you know, I had to double check to, like, he's been a healthy scratch. He looks pretty good for, you know, right, for someone who might have been a healthy scratch. And again, it's no surprise that there were several teams interested in Saad, as we talked about during tonight's broadcast, and that Golden Knights would be his destination as a compliment to the organization and to the city. You know, of course, there are going to be some things to sort out. I thought that there were, you know, when he shows that step, how he uses his speed to protect the puck. You know, there was the one opportunity in the first period where he made a pass I thought he could have shot. Then in the second period, he took the shot when I thought he should have, even though we had an opportunity to pass. So, you know, you get that feel. You know, he wants to score goals. We talked about it with respect to the numbers. Like Victor Olofsson, in their careers, they have just about the same number of goals and assists. Saad has 150% more of both compared to Victor Olofsson. Well over 500 points, but you get the idea. I think that, as Tomas Hertl said in one of our intermission interviews, you know, the size is an important factor for the Golden Knights' success. Saad does have some of that. It's another body that kind of fits in with the Golden Knights. Plus, he's a winger who can score goals. He hasn't had as many this year. Did have a hat trick a few weeks ago. Those are, you know, he's only had multi-goal games this year. He hasn't had a game this year where he scored one goal. It's been only multi-goal games. Three-goal game and a couple of two-goal games. So, yeah, we'll see. I think another practice, you know, that'll help out tomorrow. And then, you know, we'll see how things unfold in terms of the combinations of forwards. Off the face of it, Ryan, it seemed like the idea to have Saad with Howden and Stone, I was nodding my head when Bruce told me that was the combo today.
I'm with you there, and we'll see what ends up happening when the Golden Knights take on the Islanders on Tuesday. Any final thoughts on that, on this game, before we turn our attention to that?
Yeah, well, just the one name that we haven't mentioned here is one that we mentioned throughout the game, Ryan, and that's Raphael Lavoie. Close. I mean, it was just one of those games where he was around it, he was near it, and just couldn't quite get a goal for his line or himself. Very close, and let's put it this way. If he continues to play like he did in this game, he's going to continue playing, and he's going to get some points.
Yeah, I'm with you. It was a great showing for Raphael Lavoie. Enjoy the rest of your night, Dan, and we will chat on Tuesday.
Thanks, Ryan. Good night.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 4-2 loss to the New York Rangers. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 4-2 to the New York Rangers. Vegas now 31-16-6 for 68 points on the year. Next in action Tuesday, 4:30 puck drop, 3:30 pregame show. On Long Island against the New York Islanders. Taking a look at the highlights in this game, we go back to the first period, and the Golden Knights carried the play throughout the majority of the first period and opened the scoring with 18 seconds left on Jack Eichel's power play goal.
Stone scans the middle, nowhere to go. Up top for Eichel now. Eichel pulls, shoots, score! Jack Eichel, power play goal with 18 seconds to go in the first. The Knights take a 1-0 lead in New York City.
17th goal of the year for Jack Eichel on the power play for Mark Stone and Pavel Dorofeev. 19:41 of the first period made it 1-0 Vegas. The Golden Knights would take that 1-0 lead into the second period, and the Rangers tied the game just over a minute into the second period when Alexis Lafreniere finished off a great pass from Adam Fox.
Gathered, though, by Riley Smith, Adam Fox is in, feeding left, and a shot, they score! Hill way out of his crease. Lafreniere fires from the left circle into a wide-open net. It's a 1-1 tie.
14th goal of the year for Alexis Lafreniere from Adam Fox and Riley Smith. 1:18 of the second period tied the game at 1, but the Golden Knights regained the lead midway through the second period as Jack Eichel galloped through the neutral zone before ripping home his second of the game.
Back and forth breakout. Kolesar coming through center with Eichel. Jack into the zone. Pulls and shoots. He scores! Jack Eichel! Explosive shot by the glove of Jonathan Quick. Eichel with his second of the day. And the Knights have a 2-1 lead with 10:44 to go in the second. Eichel from Kolesar for the go-ahead goal.
18th goal of the year, second of the game from Jack Eichel. The assist to Keegan Kolesar and Shea Theodore, 9:16 of the second period, made it 2-1 Vegas. So the Golden Knights had a one-goal lead going to the third period, and the Rangers got to work on the power play early in the third period and tied the game as Mika Zibanejad scored on a rebound.
Rangers get to it. Zibanejad on the right side. Fox left for Panarin, straight on. Left circle, JT Miller. He shoots, save, rebound, they score! Hill made an initial save, but he could not secure the puck, and the Rangers have tied it with a power play goal.
10th goal of the year for Mika Zibanejad on the power play from JT Miller and Artemi Panarin. 5:04 the third period, tied the game at 2. Then the Rangers dialed up the pressure and took their first lead of the night just past the midway point of the third period on Keandre Miller's one-timer.
Fido's to the right, blocked by Theodore. Zibanejad kind of lost the handle. He gets it back left. Keandre Miller, he scores! Top left corner, Keandre Miller gives the Rangers their first lead of the game. 3-2 New York with 8:27 to go in the third period.
Fourth goal of the year for Keandre Miller from Mika Zibanejad and Artemi Panarin. 11:33 of the third period made it 3-2. Rangers, then the Rangers put the game away on Artemi Panarin's power play goal.
Keandre Miller with the puck on the right, left for Miller, right, extra feed left, Panarin scores! Power play goal with 1:41 to go in the third. The Rangers have scored three straight and now lead the Golden Knights 4-2.
22nd goal of the year for Artemi Panarin on the power play for Mika Zibanejad and JT Miller. 18:19 of that third period made it 4-2 Rangers. And all that was left in this game was the final call.
5 seconds. Theodore will send it forward at the line. Clock down to 2, down to 1. Crowd to its feet at the Garden. And Jonathan Quick has won his 400th National Hockey League game. Jonathan Quick and the Rangers defeat the Golden Knights 4-2,
the final. The Rangers defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas starts this four-game road trip with a loss in this one, which is particularly disappointing because the Golden Knights had a 2-1 lead going to the third period. They've been so, so good throughout the majority of this season, kind of protecting that lead, getting that lead across the finish line, entering the third period, and tonight just wasn't the case. Three straight goals for the Rangers in the third period, 2 on the power play. You look at the power play numbers, Vegas, they were 1-for-1 on the man advantage. The Rangers, 2-for-2 with the man advantage, and that's huge. That's important. It's big. So for the Golden Knights, it's a tough one. It definitely is points that get away from you in this game. You kind of wanted to turn the page on January and start new here in the month of February, and this is just another game where the Golden Knights aren't able to create that separation needed to kind of put teams away, step on the accelerator, find that extra gear, find another couple of goals. And when you let teams like the Rangers hang around, when you let teams that are kind of in the hunt trying to get themselves into playoff position, when you let them hang around, then eventually they're going to be able to believe inside of a game that they can come back. And, you know, when the deficit's just a goal, it becomes easier and easier. Now, would be remiss if we don't bring up Jonathan Quick, who I thought was really solid in this game for the New York Rangers. Picks up career win number 400, first American-born goaltender to get 400 wins, just the 15th goaltender in NHL history to get 400 wins. Gives you an idea of, you know, the level that Jonathan Quick has been at throughout his entire career. We saw it firsthand here with the Vegas Golden Knights when Quick was a member of the Golden Knights in helping this team win a Stanley Cup. And I just thought tonight he was not going to be denied. Plenty of chances for the Golden Knights to pad their lead, extend their lead, and Jonathan Quick shut the door. The post-game injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. As we know, William Karlsson, Cole Schwint, they did not travel on this four-game road trip leading into the Four Nations faceoff, so don't expect either one of those two players back for the Vegas Golden Knights. Alex Pietrangelo took a healthy hit in this one from Will Cooley. Finished the game no worse for wear in that respect, so good there from Pietrangelo and good there for the Golden Knights. But, you know, again, you're kind of looking to integrate Brandon Saad. You're looking to find kind of the right combinations in terms of the lines for the Golden Knights now with a new piece. And it seemed to me anyway that balance was what Bruce Cassidy was after in this game. Balance is really kind of the name of the game for the Golden Knights moving forward. Now, it's a scenario where you've got to find more goals. It just hasn't happened yet for the Golden Knights. Take a break. Come back with more next on the postgame show. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back to the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 4-2 to the New York Rangers. Vegas 31-16-6, 68 points on the year. Next in action Tuesday, 4:30 on Long Island against the Islanders. Checking in on the text line, 702-876-1340. That's the text line. It's always open for you. It is your one-stop shop for everything Vegas Golden Knights. So if you have an instant reaction to a game, if you've got a thought or a question, that's where you go to be heard. 702-876-1340. We do it after every single game. Instant reactions. Pamela said that sucked. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Pamela. Like, for the Golden Knights, it's 2-1 going into the third period. By and large this year, they have done a really good job of closing games out. There have been some hiccups along the way, which is going to happen over the course of an 82-game season, but more often than not, if the Golden Knights have a lead going into the second or going into the third period, they're usually good for points in the bank, if not wins outright. And this one's particularly frustrating because you had a lead. You're playing well through 40 minutes, pretty buttoned up, not a lot of chances going the other way for the Rangers, and the Rangers are on a back-to-back. Like, the team that shouldn't have been dominant in the third period was the Rangers. You would have expected them to fade as that period wore on, and it just didn't happen. Third period was the Rangers' best period in terms of shot volume, zone time, chance generation, all of it, which seems confusing when you factor in that they were on a back-to-back. Now, Philip asks, what's it going to take for the Golden Knights to win over a New York team? As far as I can recall this season, they're now 0-3 against them. That's including the Rangers, the Islanders, by the way. What's it going to take? It's going to take a victory over the Islanders on Tuesday. There's not really anything you can do. You've lost the season series against the Rangers. You're down one game in the season series to the Islanders. They have beaten the Sabres, but you know, if you're not going to include them in the New York area teams, that's totally fine. I'm not too worried about kind of not beating the Rangers or the Islanders to this point. I mean, obviously you want to win games, but like that's not going to do much of anything in terms of down the road. And this might be a nice reminder for some people in terms of how I view regular season losses in trying to chalk up what might or might not happen in the playoffs. We'll hold on to that thought and get to Bruce Cassidy as he addresses the media.
Got away from us as we didn't finish well enough to extend the lead in the second, even the chances in the third. We're off net too often with our chance. That's happening a lot lately for us. And high tonight for some reason. Jack scored two goals, a foot off the ice, but you know, we're missing high, a lot of opportunities. We had a 2-on-0, we don't get a shot on net. There's just some, you know, we got to finish better. That's part of it if we're going to give up four. So if you're going to work back, you know, don't give up four, you know, for not scoring. So we got to, you know, it's got to equate one way or the other. So, you know, and that's a little bit our penalty kill tonight. Didn't get the job done. We didn't get a couple clears when we had a chance on the second goal. It gave him life. We didn't get the save. Got through our goaltender. Two of their power play goals. So, you know, there's some of that that's involved too, right? I think there's a lot of responsibility to go around and get back to work tomorrow and see if we can fix it.
I know it came at your guys' expense tonight, but Jonathan Quick picked up win number 400. You coached him, obviously, on the Cup team, and I guess just what can you say about the goaltender in person he is and that accomplishment?
I love the guy. He was great for us. He came in late, deadline. you know, we didn't really know where he'd be. You know, I think it was through Columbus from L.A., and we weren't sure, you know, where his mindset would be. And spent his whole career in one place, and he came in, and he was fantastic. You know, hardest working guy on the ice every day. Guys love competing against him in practice. He played games and helped us win, but he was around more for the other goalies in the playoffs for Soi than Hill, and I think he had a big effect on calming them down. He's been through it before. So even though I'm not sure if he even played a minute for us in the final, in the playoffs, but he was big for our team. So that tells you what type of guy he is right there. And so I'm glad he got to, I just said hello to him. I'm glad he's still playing because he didn't know at that time what would happen. He's close to home now. His family's out this way. So worked out really well for him. We're short time with us. You know, we're certainly pleased to have him.
Just the two new additions, Dubois and Saad, how do you think they played so far?
I thought Saad was fine. I have to look at it closer. Had a couple of looks. Lavoie, puck was following him. Really had opportunities to score tonight, something he has done well at lower levels, so unfortunately wasn't able to capitalize. And but that's good. They have chances, right? That's step one, and then hopefully the next time you get them, you're able to finish. But, yeah, I thought they were both good.
Jack said in the dressing room that this is frustrating. When that's coming out of the dressing room, is that a good sign that they're hopefully going to turn things around?
I don't know. Frustrating is the most useless emotion you can have, right? So I never like to hear that, to be honest. If there's another word, if he was like pissed off or you know, go through it, I'd prefer to hear that, like tired of losing or things like that. Frustrating usually means you're not focused on what you need to do. And he is. I mean, he's been great for us.
Maybe he was using that word.
I think yes. And I get it, right? Because it's an easy word to use, but I've always felt that that's not a good emotion to play on. But, you know, there's a little bit of some guys have been offensively in a slumber for us for a while. We need them to get going, right? That's a little bit of what's going on. We need some guys to, every night it's got to be different people, right? Like their top guys were all over the score sheet in the third period. That's going to happen, right? That's what they're paid to do, and our guys will certainly do that. But there's some guys throughout the lineup, a goal here or there from, you know, I wouldn't say an unlikely source, maybe the guy you're not thinking of, is what gets you on winning streaks. And then the huge saves when you need it so that the momentum doesn't start building, that's the other thing, right? So we got to, as I said, we got to get both of those squared away, to be perfectly honest. You don't always need them in the same night, but you need one or the other usually, and we didn't get either tonight.
Good things, Bruce, through two periods. Seemed like you controlled most of the game.
Well, it certainly felt that way, that we never seemed like we're in trouble, and then we're in trouble, you know, and you know, we take a penalty, and as I said, that's an important time of the game because they're going to have life then, right? They haven't done much, and it's like, okay, all we got to do is have one good power play here, and we're right back in the game. So it was disappointing we weren't able to take care of the puck in that situation. It looked like we were going to get it out, get fresh legs. You know, and then they got some life from that. And, you know, geez, what was the third goal was Miller got the second one, didn't he, on the power play? Yeah, it's a breakup below the goal line. We have first touch, right? We got to be a little cleaner on that one. It happens. We got some good looks from breakouts with our forecheck. But yeah, you got to sort of get the, you know, to get the game back in your favor. I don't think anybody was panicking or felt we weren't playing well enough to do it. It just happened. And then, you know, that, you know, all of a sudden now it's like you look up, it's 3-2. Now they're like, okay, we got 5 minutes to go to win a hockey game. And it sure looked like that's what they wanted to do, right? Once that point came, it was like, okay, and they got physical, a big hit on Petro and puck battles, and, you know, we weren't able to generate much, a couple of looks here or there, but not enough to tie the game.
Thank you. That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 4-2 loss to the New York Rangers. Take a break, come back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the VGK postgame show, the Golden Knights fall 4-2 to the New York Rangers. Vegas 31, 16, and 6, 68 points on the year. Next in action Tuesday, 4:30 on Long Island against the Islanders. You know, you heard from Bruce Cassidy, it's
it's pretty simple, right? The Golden Knights aren't finishing enough if you're going to give up four goals. So one of two things has to happen, right? You either need to score more or you need to get a couple more saves, give up less goals, or what really needs to happen for the Golden Knights to get on a roll here is for both of those things to happen. You need more saves and you need more goals. It's really that simple. And it's not necessarily like you need it all at the same time, but in these games where everything is so close and everything is magnified so much more as you get into this part of the season, you have to have the saves, you have to have the goals, and it can't always be Jack Eichel, two-goal night, Mark Stone, three-point night. You need balanced scoring from up and down the lineup, and the Golden Knights just not getting that right now. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK Postgame Show. Extended Postgame Show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network Postgame Show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Hey, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4-2 the final. The Rangers defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas 31-16-6, 68 points on the year. Next in action Tuesday, 4:30 against the Islanders. Just three games remain for the Vegas Golden Knights before the Four Nations face-off and the break in the National Hockey League. 702-876-1340 is the number. It's your post-game show. 702-876-1340. I want to hear from you. It's really that simple. We've done this a couple of times. Really, it's been tougher over the last 13 games or so. The Golden Knights just three wins in their last 13 games. Obviously, that is not the standard set by this organization. And so we are in the midst of trying to figure out how to get out of this. I want to hear from you. We have lines open. Dial up the number. If you're frustrated, call in. If you have thoughts and opinions on what you'd like to see in the final three games for the Golden Knights before Four Nations face-off, call in. 702-876-1340. That's the number. Let's go out to the phone lines. Bring in Mike. Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Ryan, I've always been on your team, and I continue to be today because it is such a long season. And I'm going to be here throughout the whole thing. God be willing. It doesn't make any difference if it goes 82 or 102. We just got to hang in there, that's all, until the final buzzer of the final game, which hopefully ends in a W. However, having make a couple of observations and a couple of questions for you, if I may.
Sure.
The Petrangelo penalty near the end of the game, he literally wrapped his arms around the opponent to keep him from getting a clear shot. What constitutes a penalty shot?
I think that Kreider would need more separation between himself and the goaltender for that. I don't know that it necessarily prevented Kreider from getting a shot on, clean shot maybe, but I think that there was still an opportunity for him to get the puck there. But I would say probably more separation. It didn't seem to me anyway that Kreider had a full step on Petrangelo. It was more like they were skating stride and stride and Petrangelo reached in. It was more that than anything else.
Okay. I just I wonder sometimes why a penalty is not called like that, but certainly they had 2 minutes to get a goal. The other thing is more of an observation, and that is, and I don't mean to be angry or mean or even questioning the logic of people that have proven over and over that they're much smarter at this game, but if you think really realistically you're going to hire a 7-goal guy and fix what ails you, and you're going to put Keegan Kolesar on the first line, I don't get it. I don't see it. Do you?
I think you're being overly simplistic about Brandon Saad. He's got 260 goals in the National Hockey League. He's won two Stanley Cups.
Can you forgive me for saying that everybody wants to talk about what he has done?
Mike, let me finish. Let me finish.
Okay.
I don't think you're bringing in Brandon Saad to be the fix-all for everything for the Golden Knights. What I think you bring in Brandon Saad for is veteran leadership. He can still skate. He had to step up. He was good in the corners. Certainly had moments in this game, and that's his first game. He's going to get better as he learns the system and continues to grow. And he had 26 goals last year. Like, we're not talking about a guy that's far removed from productive NHL seasons. To me, you're not bringing in Brandon Saad to be the leader in this team in goal scoring. What you are bringing him in for is that when everyone's healthy, you have more veteran savvy down your lineup that can also put the puck in the back of the net. Why we think that this is going to be the only move, or more specifically, why this is the fix or the cure-all, I don't understand, because it's not presented that way. It hasn't been presented that way. It is a veteran piece that you can add to your lineup that gives you more options along the wing, which is an area that a lot of people thought the Golden Knights would address in the season.
Okay. Certainly I'm going to be very patient and hope for the best, and hopefully get the best out of Brandon, because I know what he's capable of. I remember his greatness. I remember his two victory celebrations and hoisting the Stanley Cup above his head, not with the Blues, but with the Blackhawks. So I go back with Brandon Saad a long way. Now, I will ask you this question. Is it unusual? Because I've never heard of it, of a player giving up $5 million just to keep from being sent to the minors. I thought that was an amazing thing that he did.
Yeah, I don't think it was to be kept from playing in the minors. I think that it was just to give himself an opportunity to go play on a winner, right? Like, I mean, the Blues have been better under Jim Montgomery, but I think that it's going to be a tough road for them to make the playoffs. I think that the Blues organization had a lot of respect for Brandon Saad, both what he brought to the lineup day in and day out, but also what he's meant in terms of his National Hockey League career to give him a shot to play NHL minutes on a consistent basis with a different team. And I don't know why it didn't work there from the Blues perspective, but you know, it's good on Saad. There aren't a lot of players, there aren't a lot of people that are going to turn down the money that he's kind of turning down or walking away from in order to make less and play on a different team. But it gives you an idea of what's important to him, and that's winning.
So just to wrap it up, he makes the decision to play with the Golden Knights. They aren't in a sort of waiver situation where they have to wait for others to pass.
No, he had gone through waivers. So every team in the National Hockey League had an opportunity to take Brandon Saad at the contract that he had with the St. Louis Blues. When that didn't happen, when a team didn't take him, then both Brandon and the Blues decided to mutually terminate the contract to allow him to become an unrestricted free agent. And so, yes, this new contract is a property of the Vegas Golden Knights, signed by the Vegas Golden Knights. So that's why you don't have to, like, re-clear waivers or anything like that. I mean, he would if you were looking to send him down to the American Hockey League, but I don't expect that to be a thing for the Golden Knights.
Okay. Well, you've done a great job and continue to do so. I'll be here Thursday or Tuesday and Thursday. So Let's get on the winning track again.
All right, appreciate it, Mike. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go back out to the phone line, 702-876-1340. Bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
This felt very similar to the last game, in that if they could have capitalized on a couple more of those chances in the first and even the second, it would have been a very different game. Mm-hmm. And it just unfortunately wasn't working. I do want to really quickly, though, talk about Lavoie, because it seemed, again, like he was doing the right things, and it just was everything but on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I mean, he was in and around it all day. Like, he had a number of really good chances in this one, just couldn't get one to fall for him. And then, obviously, I think the biggest play that he had was kind of a 2-on-0. It was him and Nick Waugh, good bit of skating to get free, but the pass just a little bit behind Nick Waugh a little bit too much on the pass, and those are things that you'll kind of learn as you grow and play more games. I'm with you. Bruce Cassidy said Lavoie looked good in and around it, good chances, but you know, at the same time, you're going to have to find a way to bury some of those looks, especially when goal scoring's at a premium for the Golden Knights. Do I think that he warrants another look? Absolutely. Would I be upset about the idea of Lavoie playing alongside Jack Eichel and Ivan Barbashev on Tuesday? Absolutely not, especially if you're going to try to balance things out.
Yeah, and I think I said this a couple games ago, that I do think it's a good idea to have the lines a little more evenly balanced, and especially when they're able to find a combination that lets you have Stone and Eichel on different lines and get the scoring spread out and get everybody back. You know, it is what it is. We're not going to win every game, and just hoping for a better result next time.
All right, great stuff, Stephanie. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. It's your post-game show. We have lines open. If you call in, we're putting you on the air. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Sal. Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Hi. Another disappointing loss. It's weird because these are the two teams I grew up rooting for. Rangers are my childhood team.
Sure.
And I feel like the Rangers are not a contender this year. They have spurts of you know, good play, but kind of I was watching the TV broadcast and then I turned on the radio in between periods, and I think it was Lawless that pointed out how little zone time, offensive zone time, the Rangers have, and that's what's been their problem all year. And yeah. I was feeling really optimistic the way Vegas started out that game. Things were playing into their hands. And then the third period, everything just goes, you know, Jekyll and Hyde. And it was frustrating to see us not get 2 points or at least get a point in that game. And it's creating doubts in my mind. I'm going to blindly support Cassidy. He's a great coach. I don't care what line changes he does. I don't care what starting goalie he's going to put it in. I will blindly trust him throughout his whole tenure. He's earned it. From his post-game interviews, from his pre-game interviews, he knows hockey. He knows the ins and outs. He doesn't have to prove himself to anybody anymore. I'll never question a lineup change or a roster move for scratches or anything. So I'm not worried about that. There's no line change combination that's going to all of a sudden turn this team back and, you know, it's going to change something significant to this team. This team just has to execute. And that's the issue. They're not executing right now, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Like they've had plenty of chances. You kind of make the argument first two periods, and you touched on it. It was pretty much exclusively played in the New York Rangers defensive zone. The Golden Knights had a number of really good looks. Jonathan Quick, I thought, was excellent through the majority of the game, if not the entire game. But yeah, it's execution right now for the Golden Knights. They're creating chances, they're making plays, but they're just not finding the back of the net, unless it's Jack Eichel or Tomas Hertl in spurts here and there. It really hasn't been by committee scoring for the Golden Knights in a little while, and that's leading to them not being able to pick up wins.
Exactly. And like the difference between this Ranger game and another one is the fact that the Rangers let their goalie out to dry, except that Quick stood on his head this time. Whereas Igor, this year only, he's kind of failed to stand on his head as much as those fans are used to him seeing. And just one quick preview for the next game. Yeah. I mean, you're playing two completely different style teams in a row. Rangers play one way. The Islanders play a completely different way, as we saw in the home series when we faced them in that order. Sorokin is maybe the best Russian goalie right now. I mean, I don't think I'd rather have any other goalie right now the way he's playing. And if the Islanders score the first goal, just watch out, because that's the worst thing you could do, is give a team that likes playing 1-0 games the first goal, because then they will bore you to death and it'll be the most frustrating 60 minutes.
Sal, let's hope for all of our sakes that the Islanders do not get the first goal on Tuesday.
I agree.
All right, great stuff, Sal. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. That's the number. We're taking more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. It's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Hey, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-2 the final. The Rangers defeat the Golden Knights. Jonathan Quick, 400th career NHL win. Vegas 31, 16, and 6, 68 points, tied with the Edmonton Oilers for top spot in the Pacific Division. Next in action Tuesday, 4:30 against the Islanders. 702-876-1340 is the number. It is your postgame show. We'll get to more calls now. Let's hear from Charlie. Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. My heart dropped when they started the third period and they put on the crawl that the Rangers are one win and 20 losses when, you know, trailing going into the third period.
Yeah.
It's like an NBA game where they'll say guys made, you know, 51 straight free throws, you know, the next one will clank.
Sure.
Or a field goal kicker is, you know, 41 and 0 when he kicks less than a 40-yard field goal and he hits the crossbar. So I knew when he put that up, I told my wife, that's a kiss of death. So they won one game out of now two games out of 20 losses when they trail going in the third period. The other thing I want to mention is our power play is fantastic. We're ranking the top five. Mm-hmm. Our penalty kill somewhere around mid-20s. Mm-hmm. And one problem I can see is why the power play is doing so well is Hurdle is fantastic on winning the faceoffs. Even the goal today, they never got it out of the attack zone.
Yeah.
And as much as I hate to say it, Eichel has only one weakness, and that's taking faceoffs on the special teams. He lost both of them. The puck never got out of the attack zone, and they were 2-for-2 on the power play. So I wonder how you can fix that, or maybe not have Eichel take the faceoffs on the penalty kill.
Yeah, that's honestly, Charlie, where you miss William Karlsson in a big way. Because yeah. Karlsson is a good faceoff guy, and he's one of your premier penalty killers. So you know, generally you're going to go with either Stone and Eichel or you know, Karlsson and Eichel to a degree. And you can win those faceoffs and kind of get that win, and then, you know, go to work with you know, the penalty killers. So I think that is an area of the game where the absence of William Karlsson is felt more than maybe another area.
Right. The other thing, I know I'm biased, but boy, when I watch these games, seems like such piddly things get called on the Knights, like the Rempe thing. I don't know why that wasn't how that could be interference on Howden. Mm-hmm. And then you see a guy's getting, you know, I think it was Olsson in the first period gets tackled from behind, no call. And then these piddly things get called on the Knights. It's just so frustrating.
Yeah, I'm with you, Charlie, and thank you for the call. I think that, you know, one of the things that a lot of fans will say, and you'll hear it night in and night out, and yeah, there's bias and it does exist for sure, but what you want is an even standard across the board through all three periods. If it's a penalty in the first period, it should be a penalty in the third period. If you're going to crack down on, you know, stick infractions, you got to have that crack down throughout the entire 60 minutes. And if you're going to call something that's borderline interference, you can't turn a blind eye to trips or hits to the head or anything like that. And, you know, sometimes that just doesn't happen. And so it's a fast game. The officials do a great job more often than not. But I think in this one in particular, and it's not the reason the Golden Knights lost this game, but there were certainly some things you could quibble with in terms of the officiating, especially in the third period. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in the doctor. Hey, the doctor, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, but I think it's time for a reset along the lines of Peanuts. Someone's got to set up a little booth and have Lucy, the psychiatrist, come in, because what we need is to change Bruce from Bruce Cassidy to Excuse Cassidy. Great coach, great team, but they need to reset. And someone's got to get in here and help us out. When he first talked to us after losses, he had said straight up, no excuses. Now, unfortunately, I think after tonight, he's just as frustrated as we are. Someone's got to come in and shake things up. We could have cleared the zone on both the second and the third goals very easily, but for some reason, we went for the perfect pass instead of just dumping the puck down the ice.
So what are you suggesting then?
Oh, suggesting we clear the zone. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, no.
In
that situation, you're suggesting it, but you've said a couple of times that you need to bring someone in to shake things up. What do you mean by that?
Oh, I'm hoping there's a sports psychologist out there. There's someone to come in and just say, hey guys, let's reorganize. Let's figure out what we can. We do it with a lot of our, you know, younger teams. We do it in the AHL. We do it in college hockey all the time. Mm-hmm. It just seems like Bruce isn't getting through. I'm not, saying that somebody else in the management structure needs to come in, but maybe it's time to bring in somebody that can kind of reorganize what's going on. We have talented players that aren't playing talented ways. They're making mistakes, which everybody's going to make once in a while, but our mistakes are killing us lately.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Doctor. I think what's needed is what's going to happen next week. And I guess this is as good a place as any to kind of throw this in there. 2 years ago, the Vegas Golden Knights were coming off of a really tough January. And I want to say it was Mike that called and wondered if a break was good in terms of the bye week, because you're losing games, you should practice X, Y, and Z, whatever the case may be. And I said the best thing for these players is to get away from the game. You're 51 games in, 53 games in, whatever it is right now. It has been a slog. It has been a lot of hockey in a shortened period of time because of the fact that you have the Four Nations face-off kicking off in a week. And your body, over the course of an 82-game season, it breaks down. And sometimes you need the reset. And the doctor, you use the right word. They do need a reset. Not because they need someone to come in and analyze their feelings. What they need is a break from the grind. What they need is an opportunity for their bodies to recover. What they need is to get away from the game for an extended period of time so that they can have the energy, reset, refocus, recharge down the stretch run into the playoffs. So I think they're going to get what you think they need. I just don't think it's going to be in the way that you expected or think that it should happen. I think the break and the bye week and the time away will do this team a world of good, because it did 2 years ago when they won the Stanley Cup. We'll take a break, wrap it up next on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here, Extended Postgame Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-2 the final. The Rangers defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas, three games remain before the Four Nations face-off and the break. Next in action Tuesday, 4:30 on Long Island against the Islanders. Vegas, though, 31-16-6, 68 points. And for as tough of a stretch as it's been for the Golden Knights, just three wins in their last 13 games, they are still tied with the Edmonton Oilers for top spot in the Pacific Division and in a good spot, all things considered. So micro view, it's tough. Macro view, still in a really good spot, though they do have to come out of this and start to string together a couple of wins. That's going to do it for me here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers. It is your postgame show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls and your input. Until Tuesday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights Postgame Show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.